So this week, we're going to continue looking at some of the attributes that we started last week, things that we're always to be doing. So we'll put that one up there. Let's turn on my little thingy here. Do we have the card for it? There we are. We are always being doing something. And last week we went over the first few, which need to be even before we can continue walking with Adonai. They're the things that if we do them, we'll not only have a better ability to be where Adonai wants us to be or aligned with Him, but I think that they're needed in order to walk with Him, even from the very start. You may remember that they were always be alive with Adonai, always looking towards Adonai, always being on fire for Adonai, and always being filled with the Ruach. These are, in my mind, our spiritual actions that keep us moving with Him. So this week I'm going to continue some of those things that we are to always being these attributes that are important for our lives. I'm a little worried. I didn't think that was the card that was going to come up. Do we have the other one? Is this the right one with Ephesians 5? Yeah? Okay, then I'm happy. Okay. So last week, you may remember that I ended in Ephesians 5. And it said this, Ephesians 5:20. So pay close attention to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Walk with and be wise. Don't be foolish. Is also another way of saying always be looking for wisdom and discernment. This is not a salvation issue, of course, unless you're unsaved and need the wisdom and discernment to recognize Yeshua as the Messiah. But this is about living right and recognizing when the world is trying to pull you into situations that you shouldn't be in. Or when you hear something that's trying to pass itself off as the word of Adonai, the word of God, but it's not. As believers, we need that wisdom. We need that discernment to keep on the path and not be knocked off of it by the tricks of the world or the desires of our flesh. There is so much out there in the world, and unfortunately, even within us as well, that would try to pull or push us into the world's path. When I say within us, I mean the flesh of our bodies and our minds. We need this wisdom and discernment to keep it all in check. But that can be very tricky, staying on the path of Adonai and not turning to the side, because there's a lot of tricks out there that Satan will use to try to pull us in. The influential Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon said it this way about discernment in our lives. He said, quote, "Discernment is not knowing the difference between what right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right." Satan throws a lot of half-truths at us, tries to fool us into thinking that you're doing the right thing when really it's starting to get you off the path a little bit at a time. We saw that trick played out with the tempting of Eve with the fruit, saying, "Surely Adonai didn't tell you not to eat of any of the tree." It takes always being on the path, wisdom and discernment, to keep from being fooled, from being pushed around. Satan kept giving Eve half-truths until she wasn't able to discern the real truth from Adonai. We're warned by John in 1 John to be careful So 1 John starting in 4:1. Loved ones, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't believe everything that comes your way, by flesh or by spirit, but instead test it to see where it came from. This is not something that can be done by the flesh, but has to be done through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the Spirit of God. It's this testing that brings you to the truth, as we're told in Proverbs 2. So Proverbs 2, verse starting in verse 1. My son, if you accept the words and treasures of my mitzvot within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your hearts to discernment. Yes, if you call out for insight, lifting up your voice for discernment, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will know the fear of Adonai and discover the knowledge of God. Accept the words of Adonai, and do not just accept each and every spirit or word that comes to you. For there are far too many words spoken that are said to deceive you. So by your ear, filter the words by using wisdom, and make decisions by discernment of the heart, all with the assistance of the Ruach. It is by this way that the knowledge of God will be seen in you. Scripture tells us there is no reason for anyone to lack wisdom. It's a gift, a free gift from Adonai. And we're reminded this by James, in James 1, starting verse 5 actually. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without hesitation and without a reproach, and it will be given to him. Just ask. If you lack wisdom, and wisdom is not the same as smarts, street smarts, book smarts, it's not the same. Then ask Adonai. And James tells us it's going to be given to us. It seems to me that you need some wisdom and discernment to see if you lack wisdom and discernment, though. Kind of a little thing there. But that's where the Ruach comes in. That's where the Spirit comes in. He'll guide you in your prayers if you're open to Him. Because even those who either the world will call smart, or those who normally have spiritual wisdom and discernment, can easily be led astray by situations that cause them to be blinded to what they would normally see. So what should those who lack wisdom, or even those who think they have wisdom, pray for? Well, I believe Psalm 119, 125 is a prayer for all, regardless of your age or your spiritual maturity or position in the body of Messiah, even within the congregation. Psalm 129, starting in 124. Deal with your servant as befits your loving kindness, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me discernment so I may understand your testimonies. We don't know who wrote that psalm, but the truth is for all the peoples of God. It doesn't say, hey, Lord, I know a bunch. Just top me off. It says that I need to know you more. Please give me discernment so that I can know you better. Because regardless where we are, we need to know him more. And the knowledge of who he is, that wisdom, has another benefit for those who chase after it. Look what Solomon said, tells us about wisdom in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 12. For wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves the life of the one who possesses it. Solomon wasn't poor by any means. And he knew that money shelters people from many things. And he makes a comparison of riches to wisdom. As far as shelter from bad things in life, they both can do that. But wisdom is better because it also preserves life. Money can shelter the physical, but wisdom will shelter the spirit of the person as well. The physical and the spiritual. I'll say this, money can be nice to have, I've heard, but it will not protect for eternity. You can't take it with you at death. But I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that's true about wisdom at all. I don't see in Scripture where it says, the more wisdom you have here now, the more you'll have in eternity. But I do believe that the more that you have now, the more wisdom you have now, the greater your chances are that you will see the light of Messiah and be saved in this life for all eternity. Wisdom will help you stay on the path that Adonai wants you on for all eternity. I believe this is true based on scriptures like the one found in Romans 12. Romans 12:1, starting there. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God. That is good and acceptable and perfect. What is good and acceptable and perfect? You'll be able to discern the will of God when you have wisdom and discernment. It can't be done with the mind of flesh. There is but one way to know Adonai, and that is not by being conformed to the world, but being transformed and renewed in your mind so that the will of God will become apparent to you. So we're also called to always be showing his love. That's the next one. Always showing his love. This is the call that we see in Scripture more than just a few times, really, right? Showing love can be seen in a few different ways in someone's life. It could be as simple as a hello and a love, like we do at the beginning of service with a Shabbat Shalom and a hug. Could be giving something to someone, working at Messiah's Manor or some other outreach. Perhaps the best showing of love there is would be the sharing of the good news. Giving someone the opportunity for an eternity of rejoicing and being before the throne of Adonai is the greatest gift of them all, other than the one that Yeshua gives when we accept Adonai, Yeshua and Adonai's love. Yeshua told us pretty clearly what he believes love is. And just to be sure that we understand how love is to be shown and to who, here are a few places to look at. The first is love each other from John 15. And most of you know this, John 15 starting in 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Love each other as he has loved, which is a sacrificial, not superficial love. Give to each other your very best, just as Yeshua gave his very best. This not only will make you a friend of the one you're giving to, but also of Adonai. He loves to see his people giving to others. It places joy in his heart so much that he commands it of us. Like a child who loves ice cream so much they demand it. Adonai cares so much for each of you that he commands that you show your love to each other. God loves first. Excuse me. God, no. Love God first and foremost. For love, but love each other is what he called the second most important commandment. Now, the next way of love is a little hard for that teaching for most. And it's seen in Luke 6, which is sometimes used differently than the actual teaching that's supposed to come out of it. Listen to what Yeshua says about love. And this is a slightly longer passage because I want to get the full context of what he's saying. So Luke 6, 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are doing good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do this. And if you lend to those who you expect to take, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of Elyon, sons of God. For he is kind to the ungrateful and evil ones. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate to you. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, will be given unto your lap. For whatever measure you measure out will be measured back to you. Oops, sorry. First, there's an implication that you should love yourself, since it says to love others as yourself. That means he expects you to love yourself as he loves you, unconditionally and with a full, whole love that does not fail. Many people have a difficult time loving themselves because they don't listen to the way that Adonai loves them, but they listen to the world, or they listen to Satan, sometimes even their own voice. You need to include yourself in the list of who you're supposed to love. Then he says, don't just love those who are easy to love. That'll not count. That won't be counted as a great mitzvah, because everyone does that. We're not to judge others, but to love them all, even the ones that you think of as enemies that look like enemies to you. You're to love them, because the one you think of as an enemy, it's really not your enemy. They're being influenced by your enemy. And that would be Satan. Actions may be coming from them, but they are a child and creation of Adonai, just as you are. When not influenced by the enemy, they'd be easier to love. And we are to look past that outside influenced shell and look at and love the person that Adonai created. Then comes the verse that is misused as tithing. It's really not a tithing encouragement. It sounds nice, but it's not really a tithing encouragement. Give and it'll be given to you overflowing. But what is the call to give? Is it funds? No. It's the love of God that you are to give so that it's given back to you. Given to you from others and from Adonai. This is the call from Adonai to always be loving to everyone you see and meet. That means the easy to love and the difficult to love. the one on Facebook who spews things that you cannot agree with, and the one that posts scripture verses that you look forward to every day, the one that steps on your spiritual toes, and maybe even your physical toes, and the one that lifts you up. You're to love them all. Always be loving. And finally, for today, we are always to be walking and at times running with Adonai. Being with him is a great joy. But we're not able to be with Adonai if we're standing still. He's always moving forward. And we must also always be moving forward with him. If we are to move with him, excuse me, I'm not reading well today. We're to move with him because it's where our life is. Our life is in him. Our strength is in him. It comes from him. David in the Psalms says it this way. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. Abundance of joys are in your presence. Eternal pleasures at your right hand. The path that he makes known to us is the path that he is on, and the path that leads to him as well. Even if shown a path in the woods, if we don't move on it, what good is that? We're at a spot. We're not moving down the path. It's just a fixed point. Adonai is not a fixed point. We don't say, we got here. That's it. I'm staying here because this is where Adonai is. No, we have to keep moving with him. We walk towards him and he moves forward. So we walk to move forward with him. It's this walk that puts us into his presence, which, as David said, is where eternal pleasures are. It is when we stop walking with him that we get left behind. I'm all sure we've seen, or maybe we've been there, seen a toddler in a store. The parents stop to look at something. And the parent starts walking along, and the toddler still wants to play with this over here. And the parent says, hey, come on, we're going. And the toddler says, no, I'm not done here. I want to play. The parent says, you're going to get left behind. And what happens? The toddler eventually moves on with them. Because he knows that's where the protection is. That's where the love is. And they want to keep up with mom or dad. So they move along. It's what we have to do. Adonai wants us to move with him, to be in his company and in his protection. That place was good for a moment, but now it's time to move on. We can't stay in the same place. We walk with him, and that walk takes courage and it takes faith. Remember Peter and the disciples when they were in the boat? They were in a storm, and they saw Yeshua walking on the water towards them, and they feared. They thought it was a ghost. But Yeshua answers them and calms them down. Then Peter says this in Matthew 14, starting in verse 28. Where am I? There I am. Answering, Peter said to him, Master, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Yeshua. But seeing the wind, he became terrified, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Master, save me. Immediately, Yeshua reached out his hand and grabbed him. And he said to him, O you of little faith, why do you doubt? He was successful. Peter was successful walking on the water until he looked at the waves. Then became afraid and sank. We're called to walk with Yeshua as well, and not just when it's easy. We'll be able to do it if we don't take our eyes off of Him. And that storm is going to blow as we walk with Him. But we have to keep looking, keep walking after Him, keep Him in focus, keep Him centered, keep on the path. He showed that it's not impossible, but it takes that sure knowledge that He is able and will enable us if we are always keeping our eyes on Him and trust in walking with Him, even on the water and even in the storm. We do grow tired and troubled at times in this walk, but we are to be strong with Him. That's the message in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Adonai is the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired and weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives strength to the weary, and to one without vigor, He adds might. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. That just proves Isaiah is from New York. He said, even youths grow tired and weary. He is the one who is the creator and knows all. He is the one who never tires. He gives strength to those who walk with Him, not those who stopped while He is walking ahead. We need to continue our walk with Him. He is the only reason that we can do anything. We just need to walk with Him in a way that He wants us to. And how is that? Well, we're told in Micah 6 how to walk with Him. Micah 6:8. He has told you, humanity, what is good and what Adonai is seeking from you. Only to practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We can only walk or run with Him when we're aligned with Him. So we should always be looking to walk and run with Him. As long as we're right with Him, that's when we can do anything. And if we start to fall behind, just as He reached out to Peter when he was starting to sink, just when Peter was afraid, what did Yeshua do? He reached out for him, pulled him back above the water. And that's what He'll do for us, as long as we make the effort to keep walking with Him. I'll continue next week with what I believe are more attributes that Adonai shows us in Scripture that are important for us to do. Things that we always have to be doing. Always being. So far we had always being alive with Adonai, always looking towards Adonai, always being on fire for Adonai, and always filled with the Ruach. And then we had always looking for wisdom, always showing His love, and always walking and running with Adonai. Adonai, we thank You that You've shown us the way to do it, the way to walk, the way to run with You. Just as You showed Peter in the very physical as he sank. Even as he sank, You reached out. And so You will with us, as long as we are always being what You want us to be. Always being loving. Always looking for that wisdom and discernment that comes from only You. Only when we walk with You do we get to do all these things. Only when we walk to you do we feel your love and protection. Only when we walk with you will we be with you. Because we don't want to be where you used to be. We want to be where you are. Amen. Amen. Amen.